Hi, this is Mark Snow, composer for the X-Files, and you are listening to the fabulous X-Cast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm Tony Black, as ever, your host. And today we're switching up. We're not doing another episode, but we're going to do another interview. But we're also going to change the show because we're not really going to talk about the X-Files today. For the first time on the X-Cast, we're going to talk about Millennium. And I'm delighted to be joined by two guys who are heavily involved in the campaign to bring Millennium, the great spin-off show from Chris Carter, to the X-Files, back to the screen. So let me introduce Troy Foreman and Jason Morris. Welcome, guys.
Hello, everyone.
How's it going?
Guys, you've come on today to talk about the Millennium After the Millennium documentary project, which you're both spearheading, which just came out, revealed to the public about a month ago, a few weeks ago, and it was drumming up some real excitement in the fandom of The X-Files and Millennium and all this. And when it was finally revealed, everyone kind of went, oh, wow, awesome. So we're gonna talk through this and give it a little bit of promotion because this is coming up very soon. That's what we're here to do today, to talk through it and see where we go. Before we do, I'd like to ask you five questions that I ask everyone on the X-Cast usually about The X-Files who comes on, but I'm tweaking it for Millennium, because it still applies. It can be ported in either way. I'd like to ask you guys, firstly, and obviously you can answer separately, when did you first discover Millennium?
Well, the first time that I discovered Millennium was when it first came on the air. They're running, you know, Fox was running commercials and whatnot, but I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it for the first season. A really good friend of mine at the time who we actually would get together after work and, you know, watch like an episode of TV or whatever and hang out for a while, introduced me to it. And the first episode I think that I saw was the Mikado. And right. I was just like floored. I was already like a fan of Lance Henriksen. I never really watched The X-Files regularly. I was just working too much and doing other things. I just never really, you know, had the ability to watch it. But I liked it. And I'd had no idea that he was making another show, and it wasn't really my attachment to when I saw Millennium. When I saw that episode, it was just like so different than anything I had seen on TV before, and the production quality just like blew me away. And I was already into making films at the time, so it was just like really like a eye-opening sort of experience.
Yeah, for me, I'm like Jason. I've always been a fan of Lance Henriksen, and I had read, I think, in TV Guide that he was going to be in a new series on Fox, which was a spinoff of The X-Files. And like Jason, I'd seen some of The X-Files. I hadn't seen a lot of it, but I liked what I saw. So, you know, Lance in his own television series, I was game for it. And I watched it from the beginning.
From 1996?
Yes.
When it first aired.
Mm-hmm. And after watching the pilot, I was just like, whoa.
You guys were very lucky. I totally envy the people that saw it from the very beginning because I didn't really have that experience because the first season is so good. I didn't get to have that experience, so I came into it with the second season mythology stuff. So I definitely had like a different experience, but going back and being able to watch the first season, like when it came out on DVD, I'd seen it before that, but on videotapes, but just being able to watch it all the way through was just, I mean, it's just an amazing show.
Yeah, it was quite something to see from the very beginning. My next question is, you may have answered this already, Jason, but for both of you, what would you say your favorite episode of Millennium is, of all of them?
Go ahead, Troy.
Well, for me, you know, the pilot is the one that sets the tone. So if the pilot's not that great for me, I don't really get into a series. It may take me like a year or a season or two to get into it. So for me, the pilot set it off. I mean, once I saw the pilot, I was done. I was hooked.
Yeah, I guess I would have to second. I mean, I definitely have favorites in the show that are probably over the pilot. But Troy's definitely right. If the pilot doesn't work, it's really hard to get into a show, and that was a perfect piece of television. It really had all, and the exciting thing about it is like when most pilots come out, the following shows gradually change quite a bit. Even sometimes actors and storylines change and shift and stuff. I didn't see that when I was able to go back and watch the first season. It was pretty solid. Like, that through line stayed consistent through that entire season. And that was something that you don't see all the time with television. Usually that pilot sets up what it's supposed to be, and then it kind of veers into other directions. And Millennium did not do that with the first season.
Yeah, it's an outstanding pilot. I completely get that. It's one of the best, definitely. Well, speaking of seasons, what would you say for both of you your favourite season is? Because obviously Millennium has certainly two very, very different seasons. I mean, there's an argument to say all three seasons are very, very different from each other. So what would your favourites be?
You know, it's funny because I always get crap for... For me, I love the third season. The third season is my favourite.
I think it's underrated. It's underrated, Troy, definitely.
There yeah. are a lot of people out there that like the third season, but I really enjoyed the addition of Clea Scott as Emma Hollis to the show. And, you know, the season really didn't get going until around the seventh episode, which I think is Sound of Snow. But once that picked up, you know, once that episode aired, you know, I think the season was really, really good. And so for me, season three is my favorite.
Yeah, you know, I really like season three, too, and I think it does get a bad rap. It was a time where Millennium really started to find its foothold as like a, you could see this being an ongoing show, as where the first season might have been too dark for most, you know, the people, and the second season has had way too much mythology. The third season really sort of seemed to have found a balance, which I think could have created a show that really, you know, had some life to it. You know, but I you know, this is really tough for me because I came into the show during the second season, and I really latched onto that mythology stuff, and it got me excited. I really wanted to find out what happened, like what is this group and all these things. Not knowing, not having any idea that the first season had none of that stuff in it. So I have to say the second season is really my favorite, just from a I don't know, like a popcorn watching, you know, moviegoer kind of stance. But the first season really, I think, has the best writing, some of the best acting, and just quality yeah. television. So I really have to navigate to the first season.
Well, I'm going to book it. I want to sit in the middle of you because I love the second season. So we've covered them all.
Yeah, there we go.
The great thing about Millennium is that each season offers something different and new and exciting and, you know, accessible to all people. That's why it's such a great show. Obviously, each season as well has very different characters coming, swerve in and out of it. So for both of you, and it may be a silly question, the answer's probably obvious, but who would your favorite character be?
Such tough questions, man. I have two. I can't help but have two. I mean, it's too obvious just to say Frank Black, because I think that's like everybody's really is the favorite character is yeah. Frank Black. But I'm gonna say characters besides Frank Black, I would say my absolute favorites have to be Peter Watts and Emma Hollis. Mm-hmm. I think that those two really brought the most to the show, other than Lance's character.
Yeah, I'll go with Emma Hollis as well. A big fan of Clea Scott's, and I really loved her addition to the cast in season three. And I think another obvious one would be Lucy Butler, who was only in a handful of episodes, but man, did she make an impression on the series.
Yeah, it's so those definitely would be my true.
Yeah, well, when you said season three earlier, Troy, and you mentioned, I always think of Antipas.
Yeah.
And I love that episode. That's my favorite Lucy Butler episode. Even more than a Room with No View with the Love yeah. is Blue, but it still rattles around my head. Finally then, before we get on to talk about the documentary and everything, if you had a favourite moment from the show, so not just episode or season, but a favourite moment that crystallises why you love Millennium, what would that be?
Oh, wow.
I already got this one.
Well, this
is easy. All right, so the first episode in the pilot where he's talking to his wife on the bed, and I know I'm going to get the dialogue wrong here, but in effect, it's basically she's like, you can't protect me from, you know, this stuff. And he's like, well, I would like to pretend that I can. Along those lines. Yeah. I know Troy knows what I'm talking about, but this is,
yeah.
It's just, it really sums up the entire show and like Frank Black's character and his arc as a whole. And I just think it's a really perfect scene between a husband and wife, and these two people in this world. It's fantastic.
That is a great scene, but I'm going to go with the pilot too. But the last, I'd say 5 minutes of the pilot, when Catherine's leaving for work and Frank realizes that the Polaroid man had just sent him pictures, or who he thinks is the Polaroid man. And that last scene where you see Lance's face, you know, turn sideways with that doom doom sound. And you just know that he's got that look of dread on his face. And it just fades to black. I just think that is a phenomenal scene, and I can watch it over and over and over again.
Oh, great choices. Well, that's a little sum up of your Millennium fandom in brief. So, in very brief. But that sets us off nicely to talk about why we're here. Okay, obviously, you're here about the Millennium After the Millennium documentary. So, and you may have talked about this before in other places, but why don't you just, for anyone who doesn't know, talk about how this came to be. How have we got next year a documentary that celebrates the 20th or the 21st, as we come into 2017, year of Millennium?
Well, it all goes back to, I was with a campaign called Back to Frank Black with a gentleman by the name of James McClain. And he basically started the campaign in 2008. And a few months after he started, I came on board. And, you know, the goal obviously was to bring Millennium back as either a television series or maybe a TV movie. We didn't think there would be some kind of theatrical release. We didn't think the show was going to be big enough for that. But, you know, we fought over the years for to get attention to the series, obviously. And each year we would sit down and try to come up with something big for the following year. Like the first year was like, we interview Lance Henriksen. Then the next year was like, we're going to interview Chris Carter. And it kept going on like that because you have to try to keep people's attention when it comes to a show like this. So we were trying to think about doing something really big. And the first thing we thought about doing was a comic book. And for some reason that just didn't fly, didn't go through. So we kind of skipped that and we decided to do a book instead. So we did the book, released the book, and we're pretty proud of it. And I was pretty much like, okay, I don't think we can go any further with the campaign here. And, you know, we're kind of winding down because there's only so much you can do with a fan campaign. You can only get the word out there so much. And then the rest is on the network, obviously.
Well, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the actual fans, too. That's the hardest part, you know, is getting them engaged and getting them participating, because you guys did some amazing things. I mean, really amazing things that I haven't seen happen from any other, like, fandom, really. Thanks, for a show that ran for three seasons, it's insanity, really. So it's yeah. I mean, I could gush about their campaign all day long. It's not really about Millennium. It's about these guys' effort and what they did. It's astonishing.
Well, it's interesting because during our time, we found Jason and his web series Millennium Apocalypse, and you know, we're like, oh, there's another guy out there who loves the show just as much as we do. So we hooked up with Jason, did an interview with him and his wife, who plays Jordan in the movie. And about 2 years ago, I started thinking about, you know, maybe we should try to do a documentary. That would be really cool. And I said, who could I bring on to do that? And automatically Jason came to mind, and I reached out to Jason, and he was like, dude, we're not doing this yet. And then here we are.
Yeah, so it's a fascinating, and I'll ask you about Back to Frank Black later, because I'm aware of that, and it is a brilliant book. It's a fantastic book, but it's interesting the whole journey, and I'm curious as to how much access you had, because as you said, you know, you were in touch with Chris Carter and Lance Henriksen and all these guys. But to make the documentary, did you have full access to the whole cast, the whole crew, when you were doing it? And yeah, how did that work?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing with people in the industry. They're busy. It's weird. I mean, the cool thing about, like, everybody from Millennium is that they're all still working in the industry. They're all super busy and have new shows and have really had a great careers. So it's been super hard to get some people with time on their hands to be able to sit down with them and talk. Not for lack of willing. But they're in the middle of their actual work, you know, it's really hard to do. But that's where Troy really came in and, you know, made a world of difference. He did have those connections, and there was a level of respect from these people because of the Back to Frank Black campaign that I think that really allowed that sort of access. I know Troy can talk more about it than I can, but I mean, it was all Troy getting these people on board.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, Jason's right. You know, over the years with Back to Frank Black, we've built these relationships with the cast and crew from the show to a point where they trust us. And, you know, we have personal information from these guys, you know, we want to reach out to them for certain projects, and they know that they can trust us with their information and stuff like that. So over the years we've built these relationships, and, you know, when I reach out to them and say, hey, you know, we're looking at doing a documentary, it's absolutely, we want to be a part of this. Absolutely. And they know that we're going to put out a high quality product. You know what I mean? It's not going to be some, although it is a fan project, it's not a quote-unquote fan project, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's a little bit of extra to it.
Yeah.
What can people expect then from it? I mean, you know, your website gives information on, you know, it's going to be really sort of a breakdown looking into all the aspects of Millennium. So what's the structure? What can people expect from the content of the whole thing?
I don't know if we want to give away too much, but basically we tried to hit, like, there's been big questions, you know, throughout the years, you know, since Millennium ended. Don't really want to give anything away. This is so hard to answer. But I mean,
it's a tricky question.
Yeah,
I asked
it really is. I mean, we try to reflect on everybody's experiences. We try to, you know, tap into, like, that time period, like when the shows came out and what their feelings were and how this episode happened, how that episode happened. And, you know, we do some generalized stuff, like what's your favorite episode kind of thing. And, you know, just to get them talking, but, it's so much deeper than that. There's so much more in this documentary. To not give it away, it's really, really difficult. I can definitely say that the people that are really fans of the show are just going to be like, wow, you know, this is cool. Yeah. We've never been able to hear this side of it before, because, you know, it had a tumultuous kind of, you know, working experience for a lot of these people. You know, shifting from showrunner to showrunner, there was a lot of behind the scenes kind of things that, you know, dictated the way the show went. But I think people are just going to be really happy with what they hear and the new information that's on there, and just to be able to see some of these people from the show again. And yeah, it's just going to be a fun thing for people. Even if you're not a Millennium fan, you know, honestly, if you're not a Millennium fan, it's still watchable. Like I said, most of these people are working on these big shows that, you know, you're watching today.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jason touched it on it right there as well. We hope this project will be for, obviously, the hardcore fans. We're going to love the project. That's just a no-brainer. But we also want to have people who've never seen a show or seen an episode or two, they can also watch this documentary and maybe get a little more motivated and actually watch an entire series. So we hope this is for the new fan all the way up to the hardcore fan, that we hope that people will be able to watch this and enjoy it no matter where you are in the spectrum of your Millennium watching, if you want to call it that.
You know, I'll say this too. It was kind of amazing because there, you know, sometimes people, they take jobs because it's a job, you know, it's a paycheck. It's the entertainment industry is no different than any other industry. You know, if you go to work at a gas station for a paycheck, I mean, that's what you do. The interesting thing about this is, like, everybody that we interview had such love for this show. And it wasn't just I'll do an interview and just talk for, you know, 15 minutes, half hour, hour, whatever it is. It's they really had a deep appreciation for the work that they were doing. And that's something that I don't think, you know, really happens very often. And even people that weren't there from the start that come in and do an episode or two episodes, they really had some deep thoughts on what they did and the quality of the work that they were able to accomplish there. And 20 years later at that, you know, and the memories that they're able to pull out, it's like, those aren't things that, you know, if you loved what you were doing, you're not going to remember those things as vividly as these people did, which is pretty amazing.
I just want to say real quick, you know, I do a lot of interviews with this other site that I work on. And sometimes when you reach out to people, you know, the first thing their people ask you, like their managers or publicists or, is there money? Are we going to get paid? Is there, you know, what, that kind of thing. And the great thing about these guys, everyone we approached was like, absolutely, I want to do it. Didn't even think about money. They just wanted to do it for the love of the show. And knowing what Back to Frank Black has done over the past 8 years, they just jumped on board with no questions.
Yeah. And you know, you could tell, again, going back to their scheduling is so hectic. I mean, they invited us, but they're in the middle of shooting, like, their current show. And they're like, hey, come on set, let, you know, interview here. I got a half an hour. I've got 40, you know, whatever it is. And so we had that sort of cool access to do that, but it's just, I mean, that's just amazing that they had this sort of care for that show that they did 20 years ago. And they're like, I'm going to take time out of my day to day doing this thing that's, like, you know, super popular on TV to, like, talk about something I did 20 years ago. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, not to at all dwell on the negative, but just out of curiosity, was there anyone who you tried to get or you just couldn't get for time reasons or potentially didn't want to be involved?
You know, to be honest, no. The people that we couldn't get for the documentary that we wanted were just too busy. Just didn't have time. And we only have, you know, Jason lives in California, but he lives, like, most people that we interviewed were in the LA area. So Jason's like 6 hours away from there. I'm on the East Coast in DC. So I had to fly back and forth to do this stuff. So the only negative thing that was like, and it's really not negative, they're just busy. So there are some people that we couldn't get just because of their schedule. But other than that, everyone else was pretty much, you know, yeah, I'm on board. Right, Jason?
Yeah. I mean, it's again, I've already said it. It's amazing the level of commitment these people had to something that's 20 years old to just out the gate be like, yeah. And even we even had a couple people that were just like very enthusiastic and was a hard yes, but you know, we just couldn't do the timing. And we're still honestly, we're still shooting some of the interviews because of timing. So we're going to be heading out to Canada. We're doing, you know, we have to come back down to LA probably a few more times. And we're just everybody that's still coming on board that we've asked, and you know, we couldn't match up with times. You know, we're still trying to figure those out and try to work a way to do it.
You know, are you saying this? I mean, as a fan, as somebody who's loved the show for 20 years, you know, and watched it many times, I think maybe the reason this is that they feel this way is because, and you know, I'm a huge X-Files fan. I wouldn't be doing this podcast if I wasn't. But I kind of feel like the Millennium, in a way, has aged better to some extent, and it seems to gain more, even more relevance, scarily, the longer we go past the year 2000. So it could be that these guys they recognise that and they're very proud of something which, you know, as we all know, was perhaps underrated and underseen by a lot of people.
Yeah.
But do you think that that's part of it? And I mean, in terms of legacy, do you think that Millennium has really cast a shadow?
You know, I'm going to address the aging thing. Like, here's the problem with the X-Files. It's not a problem, but here's the thing. Good writing is good writing. It doesn't matter what period of, you know, that things came out. You know, if you're looking at a show from the 70s, if it's good writing, I mean, sure, it's going to have some things that are stigmas of that time, that kind of date it, whether it's the clothing or the, you know, things like that. And I think that's really the only dated thing about the X-Files. If you watch the first like two or three seasons, I mean, it has a very early 90s sort of look in terms of clothing, hair, and things like that. Other than that, I can watch the X-Files and not feel like it's dated at all, personally. The interesting thing about Chris Carter is the technology side of things. These shows came about, you know, obviously in the 90s where technology was really taking off, whether it be cell phones or computers or whatnot. So he got in at a time where all of those elements are still used today. You know what I mean? So there's not that, you don't have that sort of technology dated feeling either, which is great. Particularly with Millennium, because Millennium never really relied on technology really till the second season, for the most part. And I think that also helps the lack of the dated feel to it. And the thing about Millennium is like, it's dealing with real things in real life.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's really the difference between X-Files and Millennium overall, is that the scariest thing in the world is us, you know, us as people. We can do the most horrible things, and that's what Millennium was about. With X-Files, it's like it focused a lot on monsters and aliens and whatnot, and those things kind of come in and out of fashion, just like zombie movies, you know. So it's not, I don't think it necessarily it's because it's dated, it's just times kind of change and people's likes kind of change. So if people don't like monster, you know, shows right now, you know, 10 years from now they might, and X-Files will have a resurgence. That always happens. Millennium, you're not going to see that same sort of thing because it's such a grounded show that deals with a different sort of monster.
Agree 100%.
Yeah, that's it. And I think I was saying this to somebody the other day. I think the legacy of it is borne out in things like Hannibal.
Yes.
You know, which is almost like a modern day Millennium in almost every way. And you watch things like that, and you know, I watch that show, and how much as I love it, I think, well, Millennium did this 20 years ago.
Yeah.
and that's the beauty of how something like this has lasted. And it's why, you know, you can come back and make a documentary 20 years ago, and you're going to have a huge fan base that is still there that are really excited for this. And have you seen that from the fan base? Have you seen a real sort of swell of excitement?
Oh, man. We had one particular individual when we started putting out teasers that we were going to be doing something really big that just started scouring the internet for information.
He was finding stuff that we're just like, what? Where did he get this? It was like, this is no, how did you find that? You know? And we're just like, hey, don't put that out. Please don't put that out. What are you doing? Don't do this. And he was totally cool. And he's just like, no, I'm just super excited. I would not do anything to like hurt the project or anything. And we're just like, oh, thank God. Because, you know, there are individuals that do that pirate things and put stuff out there just because they can. And again, I think that's a level of respect that this fan base kind of has, is that they want this to succeed. And that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as we put the, you know, our goal was, initially we wanted to put this project out on the 20th anniversary of Millennium, but with work and life and stuff like that, it just wasn't going to happen. So Jason and I sat down and decided, you know, we'll put out a teaser trailer for the anniversary of Millennium just to, you know, let people know that this project is coming. And, you know, again, we were dropping teasers here and there and people were just like, what is going on? Tell us. We want to know. Is it going to be a new, is Millennium coming back? You know, stuff like that. And then once we put it out there, you know, the response has been tremendous. Even from the cast and crew are absolutely happy with what we've put out so far.
I was really worried too about when we started to like decide how the marketing was going to go, because we didn't want to tell people it was a documentary, not because we wanted them to think that it was like Millennium coming back, but because we wanted it to be, you know, the cat out of the bag on the day of, you know, the day that the show was originally released 20 years ago. And so I know that there were some people like, oh, it's coming back, you know, this and that. And we wanted to be like, no, it's not. But it's really hard because people get so excited and they want that so bad.
The thing is, though, I mean, I was one of those people who, you know, I was saying, I think it might be a TV movie or something or an episode.
Oh, we were following you. We were following
you. I was a bit vocal about it. But I wasn't at all disappointed when it was revealed to be a documentary. If anything, I was like, well, this is easily the second best thing from the show coming back, because you're going to get...
Exactly.
Yeah, you're going to see these guys again. You're going to get people talking about Millennium. It's going to come back into the public consciousness a little bit like The X-Files did when it came back. And, you know, off the back of The X-Files success, huge success, you know, there's every chance that this could lead to something. So I was really stoked. And I think from what I did see online, people were super excited that this is happening anyway. So it wasn't a disappointment.
I'm excited to hear that.
99% of the feedback we got, everyone was happy about it. A person here or there would say something like, oh, I was hoping it would be a Millennium revival, but I'm happy that it's this documentary. That's going to be cool as well. So there really hasn't been any major negativity against this project.
Right? I think we're holding some stuff back because I didn't see any negativity, honestly.
Yeah, and I wouldn't really call it negativity. Like I said, it was just like, oh, I was hoping it was going to be a TV series, but right. I'm happy that it's going to be a documentary. That's cool, too. So I'm pleased with what we've seen so far.
And I want to give a shout-out real quick to everybody that's done the pre-ordering or donation system. You guys are helping so much. You have no idea, because we've put out so much money just going back and forth to these areas to interview these people, that everybody that has pre-ordered the DVD or made a donation, you have no idea how much we're thankful towards you.
Yeah, it's a major undertaking. Jason has done films before, but he's never done a documentary before. And I've never done anything like this.
Yeah, such a different beast. I've done interviews, but a documentary can't even describe it. It's not even
it's a whole new
the
beast,
same as a film.
And the great thing I like about Jason, and he and I were on the same wavelength here, is like, you know, we're going to do this. If it doesn't look right or it's not going to be of the highest quality, mm-hmm. we're not going to put it out. You know what I mean? So we're really, really pleased. You know, Jason did a fantastic job with the trailer that he cut. And we've gotten nothing feedback, positive feedback from it. Because we initially sent it out to the cast and crew first who were involved so they could see it. And everyone came back with just glowing reviews of the teaser. And they're very happy with what we've done so far. So that's shout out to Jason for that.
All this just proves that, you know, the fan excitement is great. In terms of when you've been making this documentary, then have you guys, because obviously, you know, you've been involved with Millennium, or you've been fans of Millennium for this long, you know, and you know a hell of a lot about the show, you're authorities on the show, but did you find out anything new and fresh that excited you that you didn't know before?
As many times as I've watched the show doing this documentary, I've found out how little I know about the show. The exact opposite. I swear to God, I'm constantly like, Troy, can you look this up? Can you check this out? You know, I'm like, I didn't realize how little I knew. You know, as many times as I've seen it, that's been in the documentary, there's a lot of information that I didn't know. You know, people that have said things and experiences. And I mean, like, I don't want to give anything away. We posted on the website, so I'll talk about it. And again, it's one of those things where the documentary is ever evolving. So the more interview, and we have to keep it in a manageable time frame. You know, we're not going to try to make a 4-hour documentary. As much as some diehard fans might want to see that, we're going to try to keep it, you know, to an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, something like that. So not everything is going to end up being in there, but we're going to try to figure out another way to release it, whether it be special features on the DVD or on the website or whatnot. But for instance, like on the website, we posted about the lost episode, you know, Dirty Snowball.
Mm.
Okay, so they've been very tight-lipped about that episode since fans ever heard about it, you know. But we got the scoop on it, which is amazing. So there's
awesome
things like that that we were able to tap into that haven't happened before, and I think that's going to be one of the highlights for fans to really see.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff in there that, like Jason said, he stuff he didn't know about. There's stuff that I didn't know about, and I've watched the show religiously since it first aired. So again, we can't give anything away, but there is some interesting stuff out there, and we've interviewed some people that have never been interviewed before about the show.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. You know, just like Jason said, we've talked to an editor, I guess we can give his name, Chris Willingham,
mm-hmm.
and we got to talk to him while he was in his pod, you know, editing an episode of Grimm. You know what I mean? So it's just, and he had some insights, and we had, like, director Dwight H. Little was in the documentary. They've all had these amazing insights, and we just didn't know a lot of stuff. And just, again, if you could have been in the room with us and watching these people talk about the show and how they lit up about talking about the show, it's just... Mm-hmm. You're going to love it.
It's almost more about their enthusiasm than it is about the tidbits of information that come out that make it so exciting.
Yeah. It's infectious, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'll spread out. Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. I'm really excited to get that scoop on that lost episode. You see, things like this, that's what I mean. As part of it, even if it's not the new show, these kind of things, it's going to feel like new stuff.
I'll give you a couple other little things. I'm not going to tell you the answers to them, but I'll tell you some. There are two particular things that I thought were very interesting that I didn't know. Okay, how Morgan and Wong came on board is interesting, and I don't think it's been said before. And why Millennium was canceled, I don't think it's been said before. So those are two very interesting things that I think people are going to be excited to hear, and they may either like or dislike them. but it is what it is. And I mean, these are coming from this isn't gossip. This isn't hearsay. This is coming from the mouths of, you know, the creators.
That's exciting. That is very, and those are big things. You know, those are two massive things in terms of Millennium. So, yeah, awesome. You've also, which is a lovely thing to do, I think, you've also been very keen to get fan involvement in the project.
Absolutely.
The competition to get a credit sequence, for people to create a credit sequence and have that in the documentary, which obviously based on Millennium. So, what, I mean, that you've put the details on the website, but how has that been going? Have you been getting many submissions, and what kind of things are you looking for almost?
So, okay, so this was sort of a last minute thing that I just kind of talked to Troy about, and we decided to go for it because Back to Frank Black did have a lot of fan involvement, and they did ask fans to participate and do some really cool stuff, and a lot of really cool art came out of that that wouldn't otherwise exist if they hadn't have initiated that. So we're looking for the same sort of thing. We want to give the opportunity to some of the really diehard fans that have that creative ability to have their work in this thing forever. I mean, this once this thing is done, it's going to be out into the world forever. And I think that's a really cool thing. What we're looking for is something that has a feel to the original show. Unfortunately, you know, because we're not, you know, we're doing a fair use documentary, we can't really use any copywritten material. So we're looking for fans to go out there, maybe shoot your own, you know, clips to include in it. You know, I mean, if you look at the opening sequence for Millennium, there's a lot of imagery that really tells you what the show is about. It gives you a sense of feeling and emotion. So, I mean, they can go out there and they can shoot video and incorporate into it. It can be text-based. It can be whatever it is that they really want to do, you know, to submit and create an opening sequence. You know, we have some rules, obviously, you know, time length and what things can't be included, but you know, there are no things really that we're dictating that have to be included other than just the name, you know, the title of the documentary. So it should be a great creative, you know, freedom for these people to, you know, to submit and do something for and have it, you know, on a product that's going to be out there. In terms of submissions, it's really early. We've had a handful of people submit so far, which is great, and a lot of questions from them. But it's really early. We won't see any, you know, content from them for a while because, you know, they have till, gosh, I think it's the end of January or February or something like that to submit. So we wanted to – it was important to give them enough time to be creative and to do, you know, their best work. And the cool thing about it is that everybody that does submit a project – we're going to pick one that's going to be our title sequence, okay? And that's an important thing.
Awesome.
But we're also going to take all those other submissions, and we want to, you know, promote those people as well. And we're going to either put them on the DVD or release them on the website, things like that, so people can see them and really just try to, you know, include the community as much as possible.
That's so great. That's such a great thing to do. And it ties into the Back to the Frank Black campaign, which has just been, you know, marvelous for years. And like you say, continuing that fan interaction. And Troy, you contributed to the book, didn't you? You wrote an essay on Emma Hollis.
Yeah.
And that must have been, bringing that book to life, helping to bring that book to life must have been an amazing experience.
Yeah, it was. It was, like I said, you know, we initially thought about doing a comic book. And, you know, for whatever reason, that just didn't work out. So James and I sat down and, you know, was like, maybe we should do a book because we have so much information there. Maybe we should think about putting that into one volume and put that out there. So fortunately for us, at the same time, we had two guys come on board, Adam Chamberlain and Brian A. Dixon, who are with Fourth Horseman Press, an independent publishing company. They actually came on as consultants to the campaign. And as soon as they came on, you know, that's when the book idea came about. And, you know, I have to give it to Adam and Brian. Those guys, I mean, the book itself took about a year and some change to put together. But those guys did a ton of work to get that book put together. So I have to give big, big shout out to those two guys for their work. But yeah, after about a year and a half of going back and forth and meetings and that kind of thing, the book came out. And it's funny that James or Jason mentioned the fan thing, because the guy who did the cover for the book, Matthew Ingalls, just happened to be a fan who sent in that photo to us, that artwork to us one day out of the blue.
Oh, cool.
And during the process of the book, we were deciding what we were going to use for the cover. And we remembered he sent us this artwork like a year ago. And I went through my computer and I found it. I'm like, oh my God, this is the cover.
Yeah, it was really perfect. I'm glad you brought Matthew up too, because he's just a fantastic artist.
Yeah, and he's the artist on the documentary. He's our artist for the documentary.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So the book, I just, you know, we reached out to everyone who's involved with the book. You know, all the people we interviewed, they said absolutely. Chris Carter did the foreword. We have Lance and Frank Spotnitz did some stuff for the book. Brittany Tibbledy, who, you know, was like six when the show was on, she actually wrote an essay for us for the book. So, yeah, the book was, I'm very proud of the book. Very, very proud of the book.
Yeah, it's a fantastic book. And yeah, thank it you. Connects to the fandom and everything like that. As an aside, you guys are familiar with This Is Who We Are, the forum, mm-hmm. I assume, and the website.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Are you familiar with the continuation seasons that were written, like scripts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I created season 5.
Oh, that was you.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
me and another guy called James Jordan, who, that was a pseudonym. He's since gone on to be a TV writer in the UK. That was nearly 10 years ago. Yeah, and we created season 5. So you'll see my name on those scripts. Yeah.
Congratulations, that was, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That was it was such phenomenal fun. Writing, man. That was really good stuff. Really good stuff. I know cast and crew we've talked, well, not a lot, but several of them mentioned the virtual season, so I know there's cast members that have read some of the stuff, so yeah, it's really good, man.
That is so awesome to hear, actually. That is really is. I mean, I bow to the feet of season 4 personally, because I think season 4, which was written way back when, just after the show ended, mm-hmm. which was a phenomenal season, and we decided, James and I, to go, right, well, we need to use that as canon, so that's canon to us, that season.
Great.
And we almost didn't do it, because we were like, how can we top this, because it's so good. But we had fantastic fun writing it. So yeah, it's just nice to know that there's, I'm going to go back and read that stuff. I haven't read that stuff for years. I need to go back and look at it.
I'll be honest, man. I've never been interested in reading stuff like that before in the past. I've seen stuff like that, and I was like, when I first heard about it, I was like, yeah, I don't know. But then someone's like, dude, you got to read the stuff. So I read the 4th season, and I read your season, and I was like, wow, these guys could be writers on the show probably if they wanted to. It's good stuff, man.
Thank you. Thank you ever so much. Because it's just nice to know that there's that fan connection to the, you know, the stars and everything like that, and to actually helping get these things off the ground. That's the only reason I mention it, not to big myself up, just to say that I'm proud of it, really.
No,
I think
you
back
should
at
be.
It, I'm proud of
and
it.
And I think that's my biggest mistake with Millennium Apocalypse. I should have tapped into that talent pool of virtual season 4 and 5 for writers.
I would have happily done it.
Yeah. that was a mistake on my part.
Well, speaking of a Millennium Apocalypse, obviously that was the you knew this was going.
Yeah,
that was the web series spin-off, wasn't it? That was it 2006? It was roughly about 10 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we started shooting in like two. It took us about 2 years. The first season about 2 years to shoot. So it started in 2003. I think it ended up being released, I think, end of 2004 or beginning 2005, something like that. I can't exactly remember.
Well, that must have been amazing to be part of as well, Jason, and to create. What was the thought process behind that, and what did you get out of it?
Well, the thought process is, I honestly hate talking about what the thought process was, because it wasn't in the vein of like being a Millennium fan. I didn't do it because I was like a huge fan of the show. I was a huge fan of the show, but that wasn't my thought process. That wasn't why I did it. I did it because I was a filmmaker and I wanted to do something interesting and new. And at the time, there was no such thing as web series. They just didn't exist. Because the concept came up in 2003, I believe, and we had been working on it for a while. And there was nothing else out there like that. The closest thing would have been like the stuff that they were doing on the Blair Witch Project back in like 99 with the website and uploading the videos of interviews and things like that. You know, there just wasn't anything like that. There was no YouTube. There was no Facebook. None of that stuff existed. And I really just, as a filmmaker, wanted to do something, and I thought about it. And I was like, well, what about doing something that's like, you know, a TV show, you know, that's just short form, and, you know, and that was just really the concept come from. And then I thought, well, who's going to watch it, you know? So I started like playing with ideas, like, well, what could I do to like find an audience? And one of those big ideas was, well, what if I tap into a show that already existed that's ended? And so I had a couple, you know, shows that I thought about, Millennium being one of them, and Freaky Lynx was one of them, and Brimstone was one of them, and all these shows that I really enjoyed. But for some reason, I always came back to Millennium because the writing and everything was so good, and I thought if I was going to really have an opportunity to do something great, it would be from that show. Of course, sadly, failed in terms of writing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I was a new filmmaker, but it was an experience, man. That was pretty amazing. The coolest thing about it over anything else is that at that time period, to get people to view something was really difficult, or, you know, marketing and that kind of thing. But I had This Is Who We Are, you know, the forum that you were talking about earlier, and other people in the fandom, and I really was able to tap into that. I would go to the website, because that was the only place it was released, was on – I made a website for it. Didn't know any way else to get it out there. And it would receive over 200,000 views, and that was phenomenal. Like, never could have expected, wow, that. You know, expect like 10, 15, 20 views or something like that. I would get floods of emails from people all over the world. And I swear to God, I wish I still had these, you know. But, yeah, it's been so much time and so many computer crashes, obviously. It's just there were so many amazing things that people would write. My favorite ones really were some of the U.S. military guys overseas that had nothing to do. They had a laptop and internet connection. And I had this one guy that was just like, you know, there's a group of us just sit around the laptop every Friday when you release, because that was one of the things. We wanted to release it at Friday at like 9 or whatever, our time, obviously. And they were like, we would just sit around the laptop every week, you know, when it was going to be released, and just watch it. We just wanted to thank you for doing this, giving us some form of entertainment. And I was just like, wow, this is really cool. You know, this is getting out there, you know, as bad as it might be, especially if you look back at it now, there was some good to it, you know, in a lot of ways, other than just tapping into Millennium. And I couldn't have asked for anything more than that.
Where can people find it now? Is it on YouTube still? Is it still knocking around?
I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I know Back to Frank Black posted it, you know, a while back, again, but I've tried to kind of let it slip and fade away.
That's, you know, a shame.
Well, you know, it's really hard, because Troya talked to me a while back. He's like, you know, the fans really liked it. You know, I should do another season. So we did season two, and I was really kind of reluctant because I wanted to go on and do other stuff. You know, I consider that really just cutting my teeth in terms of filmmaking. So Troy was a real, I don't know if he intended to really talk me into it, but that's really where it came from. So we ended up doing season two, and season two was dramatically better. In every way. I mean, it's still not perfect, obviously, and I'm sure a lot of people don't care for the types of stories that we were trying to tell because they really want Millennium. But, you know, it's not something that was plausible. But and then we had an idea for season three, and the script's actually written, but I don't think it's ever going to get made because I really just wanted to move on and do other things, and which I've been doing. But it's out there somewhere, and I think you can probably find it on Vimeo still. Yeah, so I don't know.
we'll try to get some links for that, and so we can chill it, you know, because I think you may you know, find it a little bit of, you know, history for you, but it's still these kind of things, you know, fans still love them, and it's great. It's just great to share these things because it's.
I'll try to find it and send you the links directly if you want me to. I think both seasons are up there somewhere on Vimeo, or maybe Troy's got links to them. I can't really remember. I haven't watched them in so long. It's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, artists are really their worst critics.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. The thing about Jason is Jason's so hard on himself that he just like, although he's positive about what he does, he's kind of talks negative about what he does at the same time, which is just funny to me. And I told him, I said, dude, you know, I think the stuff is fantastic, man. I said, you should do another season. And I didn't know I was part of your, you know, push to do another season. But I think that second season is phenomenal, man. So you should pat yourself on the back because no one else was doing it. You had an idea where the show should go. And your wife, Shani, did a fantastic job as Jordan. So I think you should pat yourself on the back, dude. I actually reached out to him and said, hey, man, would you mind doing intros to each episode? You know what I mean? We had a fearsome Friday like that you should do back in the day on Fox with Jason's episodes.
I'm like, hell no.
But he talked me into it again. I don't know, Troy's persuasive. He's got that talent.
Finally, really. I mean, the big question is this. I mean, we've talked about the documentary. There's some exciting stuff to come. But do you guys think at some point, whether or not this documentary, well, it will be a success, but whether or not, you know, it triggers things, do you think we will get a return of Millennium on the small screen one day?
You got to watch the documentary to find out. That's really all we can say, because it's there. I mean, really, it's there. If you guys want to know if Millennium's going to return, it's there. All I'll say is that there is a way that it can.
Yeah,
that is really cryptic. Yeah, excited.
I will say this too. You know, working on Back to Frank Black over the past 8 years, you know, we've been able to, you know, make some contacts with some people. And over the years, we've heard inklings of interest about Millennium. That's all I'll say about that.
It's on people's minds, you know, from Fox to everybody that was attached to the show. I mean, people truly, honestly love it. They think it's valid. You know, in today's world, I'm already saying too much, I think. But yeah, you're going to have to watch the documentary. And if it does help support a return to Millennium, I mean, what more could we ask for? You know,
yeah,
that's really it. Totally. I mean, we're not doing this project for that. You know, this is for a different reason. But if it helps inspire that, that's fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully it will. And I've got every confidence it will. And I know the fans are out there for this. And I know it would. You know, I know it's not as famous as The X-Files, but I know it would do really well if it happened. So my fingers are so crossed, I'm losing blood flow right now.
Well, that's so. X-Files and Millennium. I think X-Files is famous, and I think Millennium's going to be infamous. You know, it's got that lasting quality. It's hard to describe, you know, but we talked about it previously.
Well, I mean, you know, the great thing about Chris Carter is, like, his fandoms cross-pollinate, you know what I mean? A lot of Millennium fans are X-Files fans. A lot of X-Files fans are Millennium fans. So for you X-Files fans out there, you know, once the documentary comes out, there are some conversations about the X-Files in there. I can say that. There are people that do talk about the X-Files. So that may pique your interest as well.
Yeah, like you say, it all ties in, especially obviously at the point where, you know, Frank Black came onto the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Then they became an overall universe. So yeah, it's exciting. It really is exciting. So I'm optimistic. I'm definitely optimistic. And I just cannot wait to see what you guys have come up with. So when are we looking at? When do you think this is going to hit, or are you not quite sure yet?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, we have a lot to still do. We've done a whole hell of a lot. I mean, there's a lot of work that we've already done, but we do have some more interviews to go. And it's interesting because people keep coming out of the woodworks that want to do it, which is great. You know what I mean? It comes to that point where to edit it into a viewable length that people are going to want to sit through is where it becomes a little difficult. So yeah, we're going to capture as much as we can. And so it's hard to say when it's going to come out, because we want to continue to do that, to give the people as much information and, you know, backstory as possible. But we're really looking at some point in 2017. You know, it's definitely not going to go past 2017.
Okay.
You know, so I would say if I would hope summer. You know,
okay.
I would hope, but I can't really.
That's the goal, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like Jason said, you know, one person hears about the documentary, and someone reaches out to us and is like, "Hey, I heard you guys are doing a documentary," and then we like, okay, well, crap, we'll add them to the list. So, you know, we'll have like an officially released version, like an hour and a half or hour 45 minutes. Then we'll have like an extended version, which is like 5 hours long. Right. You have a lot of stuff, man.
It'll be like a 6-disc set, you know?
That I would love that. I happily watch that.
Real quick, we have to, you know, give a shout out to the team. Like myself, obviously Jason and I are working on this documentary, but we also have Joe Madre, who is the who was the co-author of Lance Henriksen's autobiography, Not Bad for a Human.
And if you want to see, he did a fantastic documentary if you're into horror films, yeah. Called Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue. Yeah, so definitely check that out. I think.
And he wrote a chapter in our book as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we mentioned Matthew Ingles earlier, who was the artist who did the cover for our book. He is doing the artwork for the documentary, who's fantastic. And a friend of Jason's, Matthew Gatzos, is that his name?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Gatzos. Yeah.
He is the music composer for the documentary. And it's funny because I was like, we need to find someone to do the music for the show and for the documentary. And Jason's like, I think I know someone. And I was like, well, you know, make sure he gets that millennium feel to the music. And he's just been spot on. Jason could probably talk more about that, but he's been spot on.
Yeah, it was interesting because Matt is a fantastic composer. He did a lot of the music for the Millennium Apocalypse series. The thing was is that Millennium Apocalypse had different type of music. So when I wanted to approach him about it, I wasn't really sure if he could pull off like the Mark Snow stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I approached him about it, and he was like down to do it. So he sent me over like 3 tracks, which are the tracks that you can listen to on the website. And I just thought they were phenomenal. I passed them on to the guys. Everybody was like, this is spot on. So, yeah, I mean, he's just a really great composer. And hopefully, and he's been around for a while, but he's got a couple albums out and whatnot under like a pseudonym sort of thing. But hopefully this sort of, you know, elevates his name too, because he's just a really fantastic composer.
Yeah, so it's a real team effort. That's what's great
about
it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way it should be. I mean, I don't think there should be a single driving force behind this, because it was very much like the original show with the 3 different seasons and all the different showrunners and things like that. I mean, it's a group effort to bring something of quality like that, and hopefully we're going to be able to do the same thing.
I'm sure you will. That's ace. Well, you know, guys, you need to go in. If you haven't, you need to go and check this out. You need to go to the website. The time is now, mm.com. which is the Millennium After the Millennium website, with the opening trailer on there, the details about the competition, with all the details on who's involved and what this project is, and what you can importantly pre-order. Now, Troy and Jason are going to be very nice and, you know, and mention this, but I'm going to tell you, pre-order this. Do it now. I can say that, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely something we try not to push on people. I mean, we're putting it out there, but, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why am I going to pre-order it? It's going to be out. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and that's totally cool. But if you want to help us and get this thing done quicker, that's really the main reason. Because, like I said, we're paying it out of pocket. It is expensive, plane flights, you know, car drives, you know, all that kind of stuff, hotels. But there's no expectation to pre-order it, guys. Just if you're able to and you want to and you want to help us out, that's fantastic. We love you.
If not, you know, just spread the word about the documentary. That's cool too, you know.
That's the biggest thing, guys. Fans, spread the word. Get the word. It's the only way that you can help the show. I mean, the documentary and the real show, if you really want to come back, is spread the word. Tell everybody, you know, don't be shy.
Yeah, the bottom line for me, and I think for Jason too, and James, who started Back to Frank Black, and Adam and Brian, it comes down to our love of the show. That's why we're doing it. Mm-hmm. Our love of the show, the enthusiasm from the cast and crew, who have been nothing but, and again, I got to give them a shout out. They've been nothing but phenomenal to us over the past 8 years. You know, we've had competitions where they've been judges for us. We've had charity things where Lance sent a bunch of his Millennium scripts to us, and we sold those for charity. We'd reach out to anyone from the show. They would send us stuff that they had from the show to sell for charity. They've been nothing but phenomenal to us. So this is our, I guess, ode to the cast and crew, and just to show our love for the series Millennium, which pretty much impacted all of our lives, obviously. That's why we're doing it.
If my real reason for Millennium Apocalypse wasn't because of the love of the show, I mean, it was partially that, but this really is. This is a true. We're not really getting anything out of this other than satisfying our love of the show. It's the only reason to do this. Yeah. You know?
I'll tell you a real quick story. Jason and I, when we first started talking to Jason, when we were doing, he was doing the Millennium Apocalypse, and we brought him on to do a podcast about that, and da da da. We both found out that we were big fans of Claire Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was surprised that I had no idea at the time that there was some, I guess, weird backlash or something about her joining the show or whatever it might be. I thought she was fantastic. What a fantastic addition to that show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you know, but there was like some negativity towards her being on the show in season three, and she got a lot of negativity over the internet about it, and she was really, really reluctant to talk about the show. Initially, when we first reached out to her years ago, but she's ended up being one of our biggest supporters. And when she walked in the room to do the interview with Jason, and I, we were just like, oh.
Yeah, it was
like, I mean, she, like Scott.
Yeah, she just looks fantastic. She hasn't aged at all. She has a beautiful son. It was just, yeah, it was a great experience.
This is what we want, you know, this documentary to be about, you know, make people remember the show and remember all, you know, because she was great, you know, and she was unfair because she came in off the back of, you know, certain cast members not having enough to do that people loved, not as having as much to do that people loved, you know, and she had a raw deal. And, you know, when you watch it back, she's excellent. She's really good. So, yeah, it's nice that people maybe will be able to reevaluate some stuff through this documentary. Well, just leaves me to thank you both for coming on and talking about this. It's been brilliant. It's been really great to talk about Millennium. That's the first time we've done this on the XCast. So it's great to switch gears and talk about the other brilliant show from Chris Carter. So huge thanks, guys. Where can, apart from obviously the website that I mentioned earlier, where can people find who you are and what you do?
Well, you can go to the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/afterthemillennium. So if you want to find out more about that, you can find stuff about me on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/JasonTheFilmmaker, or digitalshadowfilms.com, or deadendfilms.org. Troy, which I think is pretty amazing, runs a entertainment site for TV. So Troy, I'll let you plug that stuff.
Before I say anything, I just want to thank you, Tony, for your support of this project from the beginning. Because I was like, who is this XCast guy? Who are these people? Because you were always retweeting what we put out there. You were always, you know, getting the fans riled up. So I just want to say thank you, first of all, for the support you've given us. Even though you didn't know what the hell we were doing.
I was just excited to see Millennium. So thank you. Yeah, that's really nice of you. Thanks.
That's great that you're actually crossing over and covering Millennium too, because I think that a lot of X-File fandoms might be reluctant to do that. At least it seems that way. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at TL Foreman. And like Jason said, I run a television news site called Pop Culture Principle, and that's thepcprinciple.com. But, you know, basically just follow me on Twitter. You can find all my information at TL Foreman.
That's great. Thanks, guys. And so all it leaves me to say is just remind everyone, just check out the website, check out what this project's about, keep following it, because hopefully by next summer or 2017 in general, we'll have this out there, and people who are fans of Millennium and the X-Files, you know, because like you say, there is quite a crossover as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to lap this up and find out more about Millennium past and, well, Millennium future. So, yeah. thank you so much again, guys. We'll be back soon for a brand new episode or interview. I never know anymore what our schedule is, because it changes every week because of all kinds of different things. We'll be back soon for a new episode anyway, and until then, if you haven't found us on Twitter, you can find us at @X_cast, and on Facebook, if you just type in the XCast into the search bar, where there's a great little community. We've got the blog, the XCast, on WordPress, so just look for us on there. And we're also on iTunes. And if you could leave us a review and a like to get us even more known amongst the fandom, that would be wonderful. Some of you have already. Keep it coming, guys. It's great. And you can email us at thexfcast@gmail.com. Email us. Let us know what you think of the show, any improvements, anything you'd like to see, or just some feedback would be lovely. So until we're back again, just remember, this is who we are.